I want to welcome everybody to the City Council meeting, Shore Acres, Monday, November the 9th, 2015, at 7 p.m. First line of business be roll call. Mr. Stahl.
Alderman Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCown.
Present.
Alderwoman Schnell.
Present.
Mayor Moses.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Adams.
Present.
Alderman Wheeler.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Moving on to item 2.0, Pledge Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Moving on to item 3.0, special presentations. 3.1, there's no presentation at this time. Moving on to item 4.0, approval of minutes. 4.1, regular council meeting, October 26, 2015. If the council has some time to evaluate that, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, sir.
Second.
Thank you, sir. Any questions for the council?
Yeah, there's a couple of errors I need to handle.
Mayor Pro Tem, go ahead.
I'll just hand them to him.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Adams. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? The ayes have it. Moving on to item 5.0, council reports and requests. 5.1, Mayor Moses. 5.1.1, update on State Highway 146 sound wall progress. We actually have something new to report on the sound wall. Totally contradicts what I said about two meetings ago. The idea was to take out the north side. As you know, the south side isn't done. All the walls were going to be pulled out, and aggregate was going to be put on, then they were going to be replaced back in. Well, a lot of heartburn came from a few residents, and I understand why. Unfortunately, there is a control limit that some things with the city of Shore Acres cannot control, a property that does not belong to us. However, with that being said, the state did call and give an update. My understanding is that the folks who do the aggregate on the back of the wall no longer do that. So what they've done is they've incorporated another company or hired a different company that actually already has the walls pre-done. So what they're going to do now is come out, pull the sound wall one at a time, and put the new piece in. So this was going to start last week. Please, no after today. Now, we know we had rain. I'm going to be calling them tomorrow and emailing them both to try to see, you know, can we really actually get something moving here. However, with the sun shining today, and I hope it continues, maybe they'll actually get moving on this. But at this time, the report is they're going to pull them and replace them. Now, that is strictly the north side. The south side has still got all the barrier beams that have to come up. I would much prefer them to finish one side at least before we worry about the other side. So I will talk to them again tomorrow to see what I can find out about that. Moving on to item 5.12. Yes, sir.
Just to be clear, this is not a city thing. I mean, I know you're working very hard at it. But
that is correct.
This is a state problem.
That is correct. It's a state problem. But what it does do, unfortunately, and why I brought it up in my minutes, is that it affects everybody that lives on that wall, and even people on the other side. You know, sound reducing, I don't know. Theft reducing, I think it'll help. But
either way, at least you're trying, even though it's not our problem.
That is correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, we're going to move on to 5.1.1.12, interim heavy trash collection. The city report actually got back with us verbally today. Actually, with Mr. Stahl, I was unreachable, basically I was out of town. They're going to put some paperwork together and present it to me. Once I get that, then I will present it to council. However, right now, what I'm being told, it's not very favorable. So there's a possibility we may not get that, what we were wanting, but we don't know until we get the paperwork. So, I'm just giving you a heads up. But in the interim time, what I've asked David to do, and we've got it out here, we brought in a dumpster out here by Public Works for all the heavy trash that you may have that you can transport up here. You can put in that dumpster and we can haul it off. A chipper will be coming out and making rounds to try to do chipping in front of your homes if anything's set out. So that is what we're doing in the meantime to try to get some motion going instead of sitting stagnant at this time. I cannot predict what's going to happen with the city of LaPorte until it's in writing. I don't know. I understand it was supposed to go to their administrator, the city administrator, Colby Alexander. Once he gets it and gets it completed, he'll contact me, then I'll receive it. Then I'm going to just turn it over to the council immediately so we can all start looking at it and try to figure out where we stand. So as soon as we get the information, you'll see it come up on the agenda. Moving on, item 5.13.
Sorry to interrupt you again.
Yes.
A question about that. You have the dumpster out here?
That is correct.
Okay, and that was placed on the property for the purpose of citizens can go and dump it there?
Heavy trash. That is correct.
And I just want to say I appreciate that the city today, Saturday we had a cleanup at Shell Beach, and today the city Public Works picked up the stuff that we picked up, I guess. I don't know how to say it otherwise, but and they took it down to that dumpster, so we appreciate that.
All right. You're welcome. 5.13, workshop to discuss the need for a water tower. All this is basically on the council to bring it to their attention that sometime after the first year we get the holidays over with, I'll be setting up a workshop to sit down and start talking about that in the future. This is strictly an FYI. Nothing to be moved on at this time or anything. It's just I want to get heads up now before the holiday. 5.1.4, items of community interest. Back in early September, things fall through the cracks, and I'm sorry that this fell through because we had one of our residents, an outstanding longtime resident of Shore Acres, Mr. Fleming, Scott Fleming, had passed away. And, you know, we try to recognize anybody in our city that's been here a long time, especially. We can't keep up with everybody, but we want to recognize the fact that he was a long-term resident. My understanding, he lived off of Baywood, actually got close to Alderwoman Snell. And the family, I believe, are trying to take care of the home at this time, but we just want to give our condolences to them, and I'm sorry it was missed. So I wanted to drop that note real quick and say that we our condolences are with the family. Items of interest besides that... excuse me, 1 minute.
David, was there something else I thought there was something else I was going to discuss. I didn't write it down. I'm not aware of it.
Okay. I can write everything down. All right. With that being said, I'm moving on to item 6.0, public hearings and public comments. 6.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council and comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are directed to the city council and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law participating in discussion and deliberation of items specifically identified on this agenda. With that being said, I'll start on the back row or right. Anybody would like to? Please make sure you give your full name and your address, please, sir.
Yeah, James Hester, address 3523 Bayou Forest Drive. I want to thank Mayor for getting involved with this sound wall. It's really kind of over and above his duties, and I don't live on the sound wall, but I know a lot of people that do, and they should probably come down here and thank you as well. But you know, you're living there, you're going to have the wall in your backyard. So anyway, that is just thank you so much for that, and also for having a dumpster for the heavy trash residents and the cleanup thing, so that we can dump there as well. So. You know, as a positive note, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Excuse me. I'm Neil Moyer, in North Country Club Drive. I'm here to speak on item 8.2. I'd like to recommend that the council consider a motion to table this item. There are a couple of reasons for that. Notwithstanding the possible offer of some free assistance on this project, it seems to me it would be worthwhile for the individual who's being promoted to this to present what it is that they might be considering, what it's going to take, essentially like any other project that the city might undertake, even though this one might not cost the city anything at this time, it might have some ramifications later on. Secondly, the individual who's been proposing this has been somewhat voluminous in his commentaries on the city administration, and I kind of wonder what position that might put that person in as far as trying to work cooperatively with the city administration on putting this together. It would be helpful if Mr. Hoskins would show up and make such presentations to the city council and the community so that we can get an idea before the city moves ahead on this and any action and what the consequences are going to be. So as a consequence, my recommendation is there be a motion to table this action until such a time that Mr. Hoskins can make his presence available here for him to discuss with the council and the community what his thoughts are, what his plans are, and possibly have something even in writing so that one can examine that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. This is good. Front row.
My name is Kim Stanford, and I live at 211 Shore Creek Boulevard. 8.2. The DBS is really in bad shape. I actually tried to get on there and read some of the things, and I clicked on it, the Chanel's name, and it told me that I had to need to register. So I registered, and now I have access to post and respond and things, and I don't think that that's supposed to be happening because I'm not on city council. So, you know, we really need somebody that can get it up and going, because right now it's just sitting there and it's not being maintained. And if we have a resident that's willing to do that, I say go for it. It doesn't cost us anything. So let's see what the big deal is. 8.3, discussion of legality and proper direction given by Mr. Saul, the effect of these actions to see as it pertains to 2016 tax rate and budget. I just feel like the city is owed some accountability. You know, these are some big mistakes that are going on, and they affect all of us as a community. And I think that there should be some accountability for it. I'm not asking to fire anybody or to hang them out to dry. Just some sort of accountability, something to the citizens showing that you guys are in our favor and that you're doing the right thing for the city, rather than just sweeping things under the rug. It's not good. I mean, you guys are elected by the citizens to do what's right by us, and so far it doesn't seem to be happening. The garbage, thank you for a dumpster, because I have so much stuff in my yard from cutting back trees and things like that. I need to get it removed, and I appreciate the dumpster. So I just wanted to thank all for everybody for your time on council.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? We're on 7.0, 7.1. Volunteer report to Administrator David Stahl.
Good evening. I had one item I wanted to visit with you about. Last weekend, as you know, we had another heavy rain event. That followed the weekend prior when the ground was well saturated. Most of our flooding issues historically are tidal and not from runoff. But in this particular case, we got a large amount of rain, and we also had already abnormally high tides. As a result, we had more significant street flooding last weekend than we did the week prior to that. All the usual suspects. Our trigger point for giving heads up to anyone is when Shore Acres Boulevard starts to have water on the street surface. We did some drainage work a few years ago, and now it's pretty infrequent that Shore Acres Boulevard becomes high water over the curbs. It used to happen 3 or 4 times a year, so it's more unusual now, but it did happen last weekend. We made a notification for people who didn't have a reason that they really need to go somewhere to stay home. And that was the only information that we needed to share. We did have 2 houses that had water approaching them. One got enough water to get the carpet wet in a closet, and another had water in the garage. Both of those were on Forest. And while we all think about the waterfront, our biggest exposure for flooding in the city is along Byway, north of Shore Acres Boulevard. from Schrager's Boulevard north to Meadow Lawn. In April 2009 event, we had 14 houses flood in the city from a rain event, and a number of those homes were in that specific area. Since then, we've worked on the drainage. We have acquired a lot from Harris County to improve that drainage. That work is still in progress, and we're really pleased that despite the fact that we had this heavy rain event, that we only had two homes that were nearly threatened. We didn't have water in any other homes. It did wreak havoc with our telephone, AT&T lines. And you probably recall me complaining many times in the past when we have a rain event that we lose telephone service intermittently. In this particular case, it was particularly bad. We lost phone service sometime on Sunday, and AT&T, who has the lines, was not able to restore telephone service and internet service to the city until 5:15 p.m. on Tuesday. So we went two full days with no telephone service here and no internet. Most of that time, the phones were all forwarded to my cell phone. So I got lots of practice of answering the phone no matter where I was at. But it did cause us to have delays on responding to emails, and if you try to do anything with the city on your email accounts or access by internet, that was a big delay. That has been rectified. We also had some network issues then. Another thing that happened in that event was we had a lightning strike that impacted water plant number 2, which is over by Forest, and it knocked out the SCADA controls and the radio equipment there, and we've had to have that repaired so that we can get back on our remote control of water plant number 2. That has been put back online. We went through all the normal processes and reportings to the county and to the state and to the Weather Service. We worked with the Weather Service on the tidal events that we have here as a coastal community partner. And tomorrow we'll have a visit from the Texas Division of Emergency Management, and they'll be doing their post-disaster assessment. And that's where they gather up all of the damages and the impact that the communities have and aggregate that into a county number and into a state number and look at funding for any disaster assistance. I don't think we're particularly in line for any of that. Our damages were very, very small in terms of public equipment, and the street flooding doesn't count at all. So that is where we are at with the flooding. And that's all I have for this evening.
Mayor Moses, I have a question about that.
Go ahead.
It's okay.
Yes, sir.
For whatever reason, I had several media outlets that called me that weekend, and I gave them Mr. Stahl's number as the emergency coordinator, and they could not reach him, and so they called me back, and I was like, I don't know what to do. I called the dispatch line, and that's all I could do. So do we have a secondary person as an emergency contact if Mr. Stahl is not in the city?
Yes. First of all, I'm not the primary contact. The mayor is, and the mayor did meet with the media. He met with them on site as well and did media coverage. I talked to the media two or three times by my cell phone, and Chief Harrison is the assistant emergency management coordinator.
And the night of the different nights that we had the rainfall, man, we've already brought this up. I'm going to go ahead and answer real quick. I want to say thank you to you and the chief. Yes, Mr. Stahl was out of town, was on the phone with me quite a bit. I actually ran these roads quite a bit during those nights and floods in my Jeep. I spoke with the media, I think, around 2 o'clock at the Bayou. Around 12 or 1, I was up at the pier watching it for a while. I know when I wasn't on the street, the chief was, because I was talking to him. I think he spoke with one or two of the council members. However, the media does have my phone number, so does the Emergency Management Control Office. So I am actually the direct one they go to. Mr. Stahl has got quite a few certifications, dealt with it before. He is a secondary, but I am available, and I was on the street. So I think I spoke to both 2, and I believe it was 13 and 13 was actually on Bayou Forest on my street. That was during the daytime when I could actually see. So, but I want to tell the chief, to tell his officers thank you, because we were putting up, I know I stopped many times and picked up barriers that people were driving down streets, they were flooded, couldn't see, but they just had to do it. So we picked up a lot of barriers on that. But to answer your question, Mr. James,
just to be clear, you are the primary contact?
That is correct.
But I did not give them your number.
I am the primary. That is correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions from council? Thank you. Moving on to item 7.2, monthly police report. Chief Harrison, you take the floor, please, sir.
Thank you, sir. Evening, council. Yeah, it was a wet October, the best one I've seen, I think, in my whole life. Our biggest problem was, as you can imagine, the water was so close to some houses. We received several complaints of people driving too fast. And I don't know what the right speed for out there was, but I know even driving 5 miles an hour in Tahoe, we were making a wake. So I can imagine what 20 or 25 miles an hour would have done. So in those instances, it will have flooding again at some point, I'm sure. Please don't hesitate to call us if people are doing that, because that may be the difference of water getting in. I know about two houses on a forest, we stopped to talk to those people, and even one vehicle coming through there at excessive speed would have made the difference of probably a lot of damage or a little bit of damage. You've got the report in front of you. Another thing that affected us in October was when the tornadoes hit LaPorte. They were kind of overwhelmed, so we took some of their calls, and they do that for us too when we're out of town. So I'm thankful for that relationship that we have with the city of LaPorte, and specifically the police department. They just dispatch our officers like their own, and then when we're not here, they do the same thing for us, and that works out really well. Especially the fact I think we get the better end of the deal because they have so many more officers than we do. Another highlight for October, for me at least, was getting through the CJIS audit. I spent probably the majority of my time, the latter part of September and early part of October, getting ready for that 4-hour audit. So I was thankful to get through the month and get through that audit. And that's been about it for October.
Any questions for the chief?
For those of us in the chief seats, I have no idea what CJIS is. I'm assuming it's an acronym, and can you kind of, whatever it stands for, and explain what that is?
Yes, and I actually meant to not do that because I was cognizant of the fact that most people wouldn't know. And now you're going to make me wonder what it is. It's the Criminal Justice Information Systems. And if you can envision all the information that we get from criminal justice agencies, from running driver's licenses and criminal histories and things like that, just imagine all that belonging to the FBI, and then be very cautious about how we get that information and how we store that information and what we do with that information. Every once in a while you have an audit, and the audit's actually conducted by the Texas Department of Public Safety. They have what I refer to as bean counters. That's probably not the correct term. It's probably not politically correct, but it's those people that come in, and they're techies. They're looking at the technical side of things to figure out whether you are in compliance. There's about 15,000 things that you have to be in compliance with, and they come in and make sure that you're doing that and that you're doing it correctly.
And the audit went well?
Yes, I think it went well. I received results back on Friday, and I think we had two things that we were, they called it out non-compliant, but they were minor and out of detail.
Have we ever had one before? Or is this like a
minor? First one I've done. We had one in 2013, if I remember right, the early part of 2013, that I know took place.
Do you happen to, have we improved from that 13 audit?
Absolutely. We had over 20 non-compliance. I don't remember how many exactly, but it was well over 20 non-compliance in 2013. And some of those were what I would consider major in nature, and now we're down to two. And I'm not sure that we were non-compliant in all of those in 2013. Some of it may have been that it wasn't the person that was on my side of the audit at that time didn't understand how everything worked. He didn't have a good understanding of how to explain it because it's difficult. It's honestly not a chief thing. Normally, it's an IT thing because it's really more of a computer systems technology type thing.
Okay. Okay. So do we have cause and corrective action in place?
Well, they make sure you do, because I have to respond in writing by December the 7th. But the two things that we need corrected, I'll forward to our IT guy, and it'll be, you know, it'll be done, and we'll be off the books for hopefully another couple of years.
And who's our, like, our main IT person?
Well, I'll refer to Mr. Stahl. I don't know if he'll do it or give it to the contractor that we use, but one of them get it done, I'm sure.
So both things should be covered with the IT issue?
Absolutely. It's just one of them is nothing more than a diagram that needs to be better explained. So it's very simple. It's nothing that...
Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. I, doing this all the time, you forget that people don't understand what you're talking about. My apologies.
Thank you, Chief.
I had a question on the burglar alarm. The five, were they all for real or
no,
accidental?
No, not one of them was real.
Okay.
And also, like today, we had a call that's actually a... it's on TV all the time. The help, I can't get up. Button. Is it Love Mine or Love
Lake?
Yeah, we had one of those. And that'll probably next month go in under a burglar alarm, because that's just where they, you know, we only have so many. And by the way, that worked today. The actual company had information that we called them while I was in route. We were calling, and they had a hidden key. And the lady was ill, and she had fallen in her bedroom and couldn't get up, and we was able to get the key and make entry to the house and find her dog and finally find her and get her up off the floor.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions?
I have a couple. Chief, okay. On your accidents, we had 7 for the past month. How many of them were at South Broadway and Shore Acres Boulevard, if any?
I don't know of any.
Okay.
If there was one, I mean, it's not something that we're having a lot of that I'm aware of.
And
a lot of those were results of the rains, roads get slick.
Okay. And then my final question is the 8 calls for reckless driver conduct. What were they doing to...
We get many of those a month. A lot of it's on 146, and they usually come out of Seabrook, and they're heading north, or they're coming out of a port heading south, and because those officers don't get to them, we get dispatched, and we get out on the freeway, and very seldom do we even get to the freeway before they're gone.
So for the most part, they're not in the interior part of our city. They're out on the main drag.
I'd venture to say 90% of the time they're on the freeway.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Several questions, Chief. One, about the burglar alarms. That was one of those was me. I raised my window and the officer saw Sato came and didn't take my word for it. He searched the house.
Thank you.
Very good. Loud music, noise, 5 again. That's a repeating pattern. Is that a same house?
Oh, absolutely not. All except for one instance that I'm aware of, on a loud music complaint, normally, you know, the first time's a, you know, hey, look, you probably don't know this, but this is happening. The second time's normally a citation. So people learn very quickly on that. Most of those are vehicles that have stereos turned up. And even as small as we are and as fast as we get there, a lot of times we just don't get there. I don't know of a chronic problem with it, though.
Okay, it just seems like 5 shows up every month. Property loss to be covered.
That property was recovered. Last month I spoke of the jewelry that was missing and recovered. Right. It was actually recovered in October. I think it was actually stolen in September, but the recovery, the report was done in October, so it came out in the October report.
And the last one is a weapons offense. What was that?
That was a situation at Circle Park during the cook-off where there was a disturbance and a gentleman chose to remove a rifle from his car. And he obviously went to jail, and it was handled pretty much with that.
All right, thank you.
Paul, any questions? Dennis, no?
John.
Thank you, Chief. You have a good evening. We appreciate it. Moving on to 7.3 monthly water report, Public Works Department. David?
Good evening. We're down on water breaks and leaks, which is a good thing.
The report says two main lines, but that is a 2-inch line and a 3-inch line, which are the smallest mains that we have in the city, considering we go all the way up to 10-inch lines. We mowed 10 miles of ditch despite the rain, so that's good. That's about a quarter of the city's ditch line. And we do chlorine residuals for disinfectant that we do through the city through several points daily, and that compiles into a monthly report, and then that compiles into a quarterly report. And for some reason, the second quarter report, while all the material was prepared and the report was prepared, it did not get sent to the TCEQ. And that is a violation, a reporting violation. And so in correction of that violation, we will be including with the utility bill the quarterly report so everybody can see what the residuals are. All the residuals are in compliance, so we didn't have any problem with disinfection. We had a problem with clerically getting that report from the utility department to the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. And there will be a letter accompanying that. The text of the letter from Mr. Ingram is dictated by the TCEQ. So you'll see that in the utility bill. And that's all I have to report for the Public Works Department.
David, who is the one responsible to get that to the TCEQ?
The Public Works Director.
Any questions from council?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Any questions? Mr. Stahl, there is a, you described it previously as a, you had to break the street up to fix a, to find a line on South Country Club. It's been that way for about 4 months now. Is there any resolution to that?
Yes, sir. We have had great difficulty getting contractors give us quotes on that job, very small. We now have two quotes. We were supposed to have the third quote last Tuesday. It'll be a week tomorrow. And as soon as we get the required number of quotes, we'll be able to award that work and get it done.
Thank you. That's all.
Okay, any questions? Moving on to item 8.2. Discussion and action.
8.1.
Consideration approval of invoices. If the council had time to review them, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you. Mr. Adams, you have a second?
Second.
Any questions from council? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Ayes have it. Thank you. Moving to 8.2, discussion action to adopt resolution 2015-157, designating administrators for the city online message. Alderman Schwartz.
Mr. Mayor, we discussed this last council meeting, and we discussed that citizen Ron Hoskins has graciously volunteered his time to be the administrator of the BBS to get it up and going. He sent an email. Were y'all able to receive that? I know the email situation has been crazy, but he sent it to Mr. Stahl, the mayor, all of council except for Mr. Wheeler and Mr. McCown. He couldn't find your email addresses. Sent a letter to everyone reiterating his willingness to not only get this going, and as long as he has the appropriate access, he can have it done in a week after this is passed, and further stating that he will put together an operator's manual so that, you know, if Ron dies or moves or something, you know, that somebody else can step in and be able to do it. It's very succinct. That way, you know, we would have, because 220 pages, like Mr. Stahl said, he can succinct it to what is actually appropriate and fits our needs and affects our bulletin board system here. And so that's why I put this on the agenda, because I would like to get this up and working properly. So I would like to make a motion to pass resolution 2015-157 to appoint Ron Hoskins as the administrator of the online BBS system.
We have a second.
Second.
Yes. Motion's on the floor. It has been properly seconded. Any questions from the council?
Alderman Jennings had mentioned a while back about it being illegal. Is that still a problem? Mr. Jennings, do you know?
Mayor Moses, to answer Mayor Pro Tem Adams' question, the illegality part of the
board as it is situated today will be fixed by Mr. Hoskins. It's simply a matter of agreeing to the terms of the bulletin board itself. It has nothing to do with anything else, and so Mr. Hoskins will fix that part, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.3, discussion of an involvement in proper direction given by Mr. Stahl on the effect of these actions on the city as pertains to the 2016 tax rate and budget. Alderman Michelle.
Unless there's any objection by any of members of council, I would like to move to item 8.4, please.
Any objections? Moving to item 8.4, discussion of the standards and procedures for annual employee evaluation. Alderman Schnell.
I requested from Mr. Stahl, wanted to know what the performance evaluations were for our city. All employees of the city, you know, from the gentleman that is cutting the ditches all the way up to the top. Wanted to know the title, what the forms were, if any, and who performs the evaluation. And I think it's because of the email craziness they've had. I did get it late Thursday evening. And I will say, Chief Harrison, 9 pages for the police department. That's a very thorough evaluation that they do just in the PD. The city's performance evaluation, Mr. Stahl stated that the rest of the departments other than the police department, there's basically a 10-point thing, and it goes into leadership, judgment, attendance, and it's just on a 1-5 scale, and that those are performed by people's supervisors. And it was just that blasé. I still have questions because I would like to know who does the evaluations of department heads, because that was not made clear to me. And that goes back to accountability. And I would like to know, Mr. Mayor, I mean, have you done a performance evaluation of Mr. Stahl?
I have not done any since I've been in office.
Okay. And, you know, I would like to see any performance evaluation done on Mr. Stahl in the 11 years that he's been here. To the best of my recollection, doing this since 2009, I believe council used to do some brief survey a long time ago, but that's been slipped since then. But I think it's important, if you're an employee of the city, the taxpayers are paying your job, who's going to have somebody accountable? I don't know about y'all, but I mean, I've never worked anywhere where I can't be evaluated. That must be a pretty good gig. And so I want council to really think about that, and I think we need to look into making sure that we have a set standard about employee evaluations, and that's every single employee, not just the guy that's cutting the ditches. And so I wanted to be able to ask the mayor, no performance evaluation, that needs to be looked at, because we cannot have accountability without having some sort of standard. You can't have the gold standard set just at random. So that's why I put this on the agenda, but council really needs to look at making sure that we have a strict guideline.
David, do we have a set yearly, like every January, we do evals on our staff here?
First of all, the city council has never created in the personnel policy any evaluation process whatsoever. When the police department went through the updating and using best practices from other departments, they adopted a much more substantial process for their department. I did create and institute the form that we use. Council used to be involved in doing that when we had merit pay, and the council did evaluations. It was driven by merit pay, and so each budget cycle, there would be an evaluation that was done for that purpose, and there was an allotment of funds on merit pay. However, council did away with merit pay, and when they did away with merit pay, they also removed the section in the city code to help with doing the evaluations on which merit pay was based. So there is no institutionalized evaluation in that regard. I asked department heads to do an evaluation in January and in July, which is to provide guidance and direction to employees to assist with making training goals, setting goals for improvement, and raising the employees' levels. And that has occurred. But there is nothing beyond that. There's not even a policy statement in writing that I've prepared for that, other than the request that they do it in January. I do the evaluation of department heads. So the police chief and the public works director and the municipal court clerk, as well as utility clerk, they all report directly to me. And my evaluation has historically been done by the mayor or mayors over a period of time.
When was the last time one was done from the mayor on you, David?
I don't recall.
Any questions from council?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and allow. Go ahead.
Thank you. As I understand it, Alderman Snell requested some evaluations, and the only ones that she received were about the police department. Is that correct?
That's not correct.
No.
What all did you receive, Alderman?
It was the PDs and then the general evaluation form that Mr. Stahl spoke to.
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand.
The PD specifically, and then the general evaluation form, with the caveat that is to be done by the employee supervisors.
It was a form.
Correct.
But it wasn't an evaluation.
It's a 10-point bullet form, isn't it? What you said? Correct me if I'm wrong.
What was asked for were the evaluation forms, and that is what was provided. The evaluation form is being referred to as the general form. Is the form that was used for all employees, including the police department, until the police department updated their standard operating procedure.
I'm sorry, perhaps I misunderstood. I thought that Alderman Snell requested the actual evaluations.
No, sir.
But she only requested the forms that you use if you do an evaluation.
Correct.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to item 8.3. Discussion of legality and proper direction given by Mr. Stahl on the effect of the actions of the city as it pertains to 2016 tax rate and budget. Alderman Snell again.
Thank you. I would like to make a motion that we go to executive session, and this is based on two conversations that I had with Scott Houston and Laura Mueller with Texas Municipal League, advising that this is a matter of personnel that should be discussed in executive session.
Is this over one individual, or is this over multiple individuals?
One individual.
Okay. And you're using Mr. Stahl as the individual?
Yes.
Okay. He has the right to, whether it goes to an executive or it can be an open forum. So I have this time ask him. Mr. Stahl, you have the right to decide whether you want to go into executive or you want to go up into the public.
No, we're not going into executive session. And if this is going to be other than a discussion, but we're going to talk about a performance issue or an action issue, then I need to be given notice of that, and I will make sure that I ask counsel here.
Actually, a member of council, point of order, can call for an executive session at any time. I just made a motion.
Mr. Mayor, there was a motion made, and you did not ask for a second.
I'm well aware of that. Thank you. Do we know?
Right.
So you're making a motion.
Right.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Jennings is a second. Now I'll open it to the council.
Can you tell me what the motion was?
The motion. The motion is to go into executive session.
Correct. Well, I will state for the record, you cannot go into executive session to discuss me as a personnel issue because I don't want it to go into executive session.
That is correct.
Well, we can have it open.
He has a choice then, hopefully. So my understanding, you do not want to go into executive session.
No, sir. I have nothing to be concerned about.
All right. So it will be addressed. Any council member wishes to state anything else before I turn it over to all of you? Any questions?
We have a motion to this.
Okay. So the motion on the floor at this time is to go into executive session given by Alderman Snell, seconded by Alderman Jennings, for the improper direction of Mr. Stahl on the effect on the actions that pertains to the city's 2016 tax rate and budget. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those against?
Aye.
Aye. Did you say aye?
No, I didn't say anything.
I didn't hear you.
Aye.
The nays have it. Motion dies.
Excuse me?
Executive session dies.
Oh, I still have the floor since I put this on here.
That is correct.
I didn't hear Mr. Alderman's Adams.
I did. And it was recorded. Did you say aye, sir?
On this? Against.
No, four.
Four?
Yeah.
Four.
Eyes and
the
under the eyes.
See.
Executive
you
session.
You do want to go into session.
In open. Yes.
Okay, make the correction here. So, three ayes, two nays. Alderman Snell, Mr. James, Richard Evans.
So that I can get it correct on the record, the motion was to move to go into executive session.
Correct.
And voting to go into executive session is Councilman Snell, Councilman Jennings, and to not go into executive session is Councilman Wheeler, Councilman Cowan, and Councilman Adams. Is that correct?
Incorrect. All our Mayor Pro Tem Adams wishes to go into it.
Okay.
So we're into it. At this time, Mr. Stahl basically has designated he does not want to go into executive session. So this time you have the floor.
As this council well knows, we thought we were going to do this budget process and tax rate process and be ahead of the curve and get things done a lot earlier so we're not so rushed. Unfortunately, it didn't work that way. And a big part of that was because of Mr. Stahl's decision to not abide by the wishes of council from the September 28th council meeting where council said we're going to go to the 8.26745 tax rate. And the October 8th meeting.
My apologies, my phone won't vibrate
this guy.
But here we were, October 8th, and we're looking at this motion to adopt a 0.86000 tax rate. That was what was on paper that was given to council. I understand that that was a staff suggestion, so we wouldn't have a rollback tax rate, et cetera. But council very succinctly gave a directive to the city secretary, that would be Mr. Stahl, that this is what we wish. It's not his unilateral decision to sit there and change council's wishes. Council, that's why we're elected, to represent all of y'all. And, you know, I would hope that the six of us actually have enough collective minds to know, hey, we don't want to spend $15,000 to go to a rollback election. But that was for our decision to be made. It was insubordination. It was a slap in the face to the citizens, to the council, to you, Mr. Mayor, because it's your budget. It made us all look bad. I understand that he can make a suggestion or a recommendation. He can recommend we all paint our houses pink with purple polka dots all day long. But the bottom was, council gave a directive on September the 28th by saying, city secretary, this is what we want.
And it's not that man's decision to sit there and say that this is what I want and this is what I'm going to put in front of you. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, Mr. Mayor, I would like to see at least a write-up in his personnel file because of this. This has cost the citizens time, it's cost the citizens money, because we had to invoke legal counsel several times, and he's had to come spend his time. I know he has better things to do on his Monday evenings, but that has cost us money. And on top of that, because of that, we couldn't even pass an appropriate budget, so we had to default to the effective tax rate, which puts us about $70,000 further into the deficit hole, because we couldn't adopt even the tax rate that we wanted to, because everything was too late. And I'm, you know, these are big mistakes. They're glaring errors. It's not, oops, I forgot to cut the ditch, or oops, I broke a water line while I was cutting the ditch. These are things that really are important. And this kind of ties into what we just discussed about lack of evaluations. And, you know, I would like to see this council start holding people accountable. It's embarrassing. It's sad for our city. And you can't sit there and have someone that will be the first person to tell you they're in charge of the day-to-day operations of this city, and then say, it wasn't my fault, or it was the attorney's fault, the attorney gave me bad advice. You can't have your cake and eat it too. If you're going to be in charge of the day-to-day operations of this city and wear five different hats, you have to be accountable. And Mr. Mayor, it's your budget. I mean, and that's just it. It is the mayor's budget. And you were misguided. And you were misled. And we all were. We're volunteers here. We're not the ones getting paid. We're volunteers. And we depend on Mr. Stahl's guidance. We do. Erroneously or not. And it makes us all look like fools, and it hurts the city. And I do believe there should be some consequences. At least a formal write-up. And that's my 2 cents.
Thank you, Alderman Snell. Starting down here at the far right, Alderman Wheeler, do you have any add to this, sir?
Well, first of all, while there was a mistake made, the budget proposal that was put to us was a proposal. There was nothing mandated that required us to accept that budget item or that tax rate. We did. And while that particular item was not what caused us to be late in getting our budget in, there was point of order brought up by Mr. Jennings on the way that we adopted this tax rate, and the exact phrasing that I omitted in reading the ordinance proposal. That was brought up a week later. Wasn't even brought up at that particular time, which I find interesting. If Mr. Jennings knew that this tax law had been changed and that was required, I don't really understand why it wasn't brought up the night of the vote, but it was brought up later. And there was a lot of circumstances that happened to cause our budget to be delayed and forcing us to adopt the tax rate that we had. There's the proposal by Ms. Snell to put a letter in Mr. Stahl's file. Once again, we're talking about disciplinary action. Mr. Stahl has already said that if there was any proposal of that nature, that he would put a stop to it and would seek counsel. So I think that was out of line to begin with. So that's all I have to say about it.
Mayor Pro Tem Adams.
I wish we could have accepted the .82600 back on that evening when that was brought up. I know Mr. Stahl advised that rate along with a lawyer, and it was for, in my mind, the betterment of the city, not his own personal agenda. Then the talk about the wording being illegal and the ordinance, but as far as I've been on council, as far back as I know, that ordinance has been written with the same language for years and years and years, and all of a sudden it's got some language it didn't write. If we had passed it on that night, we would have had a pretty decent tax rate, which would have brought revenue to the city that would have worked just fine for me. But no, we didn't, and so we're a little behind, and I'm ready to just move forward. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir.
When this all came up and Mr. Stahl did contact our city attorney, if anyone dropped the ball, in my opinion, it was the city attorney. Our city attorney was not prepared for part-time attorney Mr. Jennings. If you'd have made that meeting, you would have known that. The code had been changed, the font size had been changed, new legal terms had been put into it, and they went back to the way they'd been doing it for several years, and that's the way that it was proposed. And in my opinion, he went to our city attorney, went to our city attorney, asked for information and advice, and from that advice is how he acted. Therefore, I think he should be nullified with any kind of letters or any kind of disciplinary action because of the fact we pay a city attorney. He responded. Our city attorney was not even aware of the changes to Mr. Jennings. Let him know about it. Go ahead, Dave.
Mr. Jennings.
Somehow I'm popular tonight. First time in a while. Let's see. So Mr. Wheeler. No, it wasn't a mistake. And I walked out of that meeting, if you'll recall. I could have corrected it that night. This is not a change in the law. It was never a change in the law. The law has been this way since 05. Okay? And we have told, some of us have told City Council about that in the past. You know, you have to pass things legally. Okay? We've told them that. And when I walked in that meeting that night, part-time attorney, never thought of myself as a part-time attorney, Mr. McCallum, Alderman McCallum. Trust me, I don't want to be an attorney. When I walked into that meeting and I saw that Mr. Stahl had changed a legally voted on rate, I left. Go listen to the meetings. I left. I'm not going to participate. I left. Okay? So don't say that I could have changed it that night. That's not true. And it's not part of the record. Go listen to the tapes. Read the meetings. I left because I had no part of that. I wanted no part of that. It was illegal. You know, Mr. Stahl changed the rate because of some alleged phone call that, by the way, our city attorney stood here and said, I never talked to him. Mr. Stahl said, well, it was a phone call with your father. We were never billed for that. Because we have the documents that say, okay, this is what we were charged for. So, did that phone call ever happen? I don't think so. But these guys were friends for a long time, so I guess they'll stand up for each other. All I can tell you is that it never happened. I was not there to change it. I could have fixed it that night. I was fully prepared to fix it. Because that, again, that law was in place for 10 years. This is not something new. So when Alderman Callan and Alderman Wheeler say part-time attorney Jennings, you know, I get it. You know, I get it. To make people like to slap each other around, I guess. And maybe I deserve it once in a while. But the fact is, it didn't happen. It just didn't happen. Mr. Stahl, and if you go back and listen to the tape from that night after I left, you have Alderman saying, well, we will defer to your 40 years of experience. And by the way, there was a comment that said, Mr. Stahl contacted the attorney that night. No, he didn't. They did try, but the attorney never entered the phone. Go and listen to the tape. It didn't happen. I've listened to the tape. It just didn't happen. And so you have Alderman saying, well, we will defer to your experience. I'm sorry, but Mr. Stahl just messed up. You can't, it happens. Why not just accept it? Okay, I messed up. Okay,
Everybody here has messed up once in a while. Just say, okay, I messed up. Put it in my file. Who cares? It's a letter in my file. Who cares? But the fact is that it makes us all look bad. It really did. And all Mr. Stahl had to do was say, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. And that would have ended the whole thing. But instead, you got my friend here saying, part-time attorney Jennings. Whatever. I don't know. I'm not a part-time attorney. I'm not even a full-time attorney. I'm not even a wannabe attorney. All I know is this is what the law says, and we didn't do it. I pointed it out because I don't like tax rate increases. Okay? So, you know, I killed it. I did it. If you don't like that, then vote against me next time. I don't care. I'm not a career politician. Who cares? All I know is that the best thing that happened here was we killed the tax rate increase. So you can do what you want with that. And you can call me part-time attorney or anything else you think is negative, and it won't bother me. Thank you, Mayor.
Mayor, I have one rebut.
Mr. Wheeler, go ahead, sir.
I've been set through three budget workshops, and while the law may have been there for 10 years, this issue of the correct font, the correct wording, has never been brought to council when I have been on the council. This was all new to me. I don't know if Alderman Schnell and Mayor Pro Tem Adams have had this brought to their attention before. I think not. But this was new to everyone on this council as far as I know.
And I have another rebuttal.
Gentlemen, we're gonna switch the buttons.
Yeah, well, I would just say that's nonsense because I haven't brought it up before.
Yeah, Mr. Stahl will get to talk. There's the motion on the, well, actually, since it's been voted on. That's the motion, yeah. Coppersville, thank you, everybody. But I thank you, Mayor. I'm going to speak real quick and then I'll let you speak. I'll adjourn me. I hope everybody's got their quarters on. Please, I want social media to have it right tomorrow.
Good. Let me turn it on.
Please do. So, I sit here, I've listened to everybody's discussion. I do care. I drive a Corpus Christi just to come up here to make this meeting when I had business to take care of. So I still care. I drive out in the middle of this city in the middle of the night when it floods, but I care. I don't need any kudos from anyone. I appreciate everybody. Whether I run or not again, I appreciate the people who voted for me and the people who didn't vote for me. That's not the issue. The issue is, did David Stahl make a mistake here? I think he made a mistake somewhat. I think he made a mistake the fact that he goes out of his way working as hard as he does for a city that doesn't appreciate him sometimes. When you look at the situation at hand, going with Mr. McComb, I think our city attorney made a grave mistake. He was not prepared. He didn't have the information correct. He should have corrected that with David before we even got here. But I'm not going to throw people under the bus here, but I am curious about one thing because I seem to make Mr. Jennings' website all the time, so I'm going to say something to
him. Excuse me, point of order. What does that have to
do with it? Overall, where I'm going with this.
The point of order is, what is Mr. Jennings' website?
Mr. Jennings, do you know what overruled is?
No, I don't.
Well, you're overruled. My point is, where we stand at this is that he knew about this before he came to this meeting. Why couldn't he contact David Stahl and say, look, you've got something wrong here before we had this meeting, and they could have corrected it before we started? Instead, 5 minutes into the meeting, you jump up, you're upset with the council, you walk out.
Oh, no, it was about 1 minute into the meeting. Let's get it correct.
Mr. Jennings, we're not going to debate this anymore. Please do not interrupt me again. I'm the mayor. I was elected mayor. Well, I have my moment to talk for you.
You're welcome to kick me out of here.
No, I don't do that.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, I've made my point. This is not a debate. Folks, I apologize for that. It's just a point. I'm trying to make a point. I think I got it across. I can tell. Mr. Stahl, the floor is yours, sir.
Good evening. We went through the budget process, and the mayor
creates the budget, and he's the budget officer, and he presents it to you. And in that process, in the conversations that we had in preparing that for council and for the workshops, he made it very clear that his goal was to bring a budget with no tax increase. It would not be a tax increase. And that was the preparatory work that was done by myself as the city secretary. You know, this is one of the very, very few cities where you will find a city administrator also serving as city secretary. So I do wear both of those hats.
So are you saying we shouldn't have...
Mr. James, please do not interrupt. Mr. Stahl does have the floor.
And so in that process, I had made preparations for a no tax increase. However, since it goes to council and it's a council's decision, the timing was prepared, the calendar was prepared for if there was going to be a tax increase. Statutorily, we're required to post notice, publish notice, hold two public hearings separate and apart from the date when a tax rate was adopted. And so I did come to that council meeting with those dates prepared, and I was quite surprised when at the meeting that is required for council to take a vote on a proposed tax rate, which is not setting a tax rate, it's not directing a tax rate, it is where council proposes a rate for the purpose of giving public notice and holding public hearings of what the tax rate could be at the maximum. They couldn't go above that, but they could go below. motion was made by a councilman to raise the tax rate.
Point of information.
At 99 cents.
Just a point of information. Mr. Saul said that we could go above it, but not below it.
No.
Yes, you did. That's what you just said.
Well, and I misspoke.
Okay.
But I don't believe that's what I said. And so I was surprised when a councilman member suggested a 99-cent tax rate, and then another council person amended that to go to last year's rate. And then I cautioned council that if they went with that rate, it was above the 8% rollback rate, and that would trigger a rollback election. And that was not a good idea. And then a third council member adjusted the rate to match the 8% rate that was on the effective tax rate paperwork that was prepared by the tax assessor collector, not by me. And that was the rate that council voted on as a proposed tax rate. And we moved forward from that. We adopted dates for the public hearings. We held the public hearings. And you fast forward then up to the date of the meeting. I don't appreciate being called a liar, which I've heard here this evening. That certainly is not the case. I did have a conversation. I told council about the conversation. I told council it was a casual conversation with the city attorney. And if he chose not to bill us, then I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing. But the conversation did take place, as I said, and no one has asked the city attorney. They have asked his associate, who is his son. They haven't asked him. it was said that I didn't abide by a council decision. There's no such thing there. It was said that I misled the mayor. No such thing there. I did prepare the ordinance to set a tax rate. I do prepare the ordinances. Again, one of the few cities where staff prepares the ordinances instead of a city attorney. We do that because we're a small city and we're saving money. I prepare all the ordinances virtually that come before council. I prepared that one. I told the mayor prior to the meeting that the rate in the ordinance was going to be lower on a recommendation of the city attorney that we not use the same number of the 8% and that we adopt a lower rate than that, which in prior years when I worked with other city councils, we've always done that. We've gone to just slightly under so that if the calculation of the effective rate is found to be an error, that doesn't create a conflict that puts you over. So there was nothing hidden. If you listen to the recording of the meeting, I told council when I presented the ordinance that the number in there was lower than the proposed number and what the rationale for that was. so there was nothing being hidden or slid in or no surprises to anybody. I was never directed what number to put in that by council or by the mayor. I did not change a rate. Council never voted on adopting a rate. They voted on a proposed rate. Their council could have adopted any rate they wanted up to the legal maximum that night to zero. What I put in an ordinance that comes here prepared by the staff is not binding on council at all. So there is absolutely nothing. And I would see a point if I had not disclosed the number was different and they passed something that had a number that wasn't what they thought. That wasn't the case. And then there was lots of discussion about that number. I firmly believe that council has a responsibility to the city to act. Errors happen. If council's aware of errors, whether I make it or someone else that makes it, I think council has a responsibility to correct that error, to bring it to someone's attention, and not wait until it's already happened, and then bring it up. I'm more than happy to make any changes or corrections. I wasn't aware that it had changed. We have only raised the tax rate above the effective rate, not counting this year. This year we would have, if we had, I think two times since 2005. The language that is missing in the ordinance that I brought is only required in the case where you're raising the effective, above the effective tax rate. It does not go in the ordinance any other time. So the vast majority of ordinances that come to this council have not had that language, nor was it required to be in that language, in that ordinance. That was a mistake. That was an error. It was an error that not only I made, but the city attorney's office also failed to catch that it didn't have that language in it. And then there was the language of the motion. I didn't make the motion. I know the councilman who made the motion wasn't aware that there was specific language and was not given that direction, and I didn't have that information to give him that direction. And if there was someone on council that knew what that language should be, I think that person should have shared that with council so that the city didn't make a mistake. Yes, there was an error made. Errors happen. It wasn't done intentionally. It wasn't done with any expectation of knowledge. It wasn't done with any suggestion that there was something wrong that needed to be corrected, so I had the opportunity to correct it. And so, in one respect, it's an honest mistake. In another respect, I feel like I've been sandbagged. But I certainly don't think I did anything that, that merits disciplinary action.
Did you put the time down when in open session, David?
This has all been open session.
I'm starting the exact time. Only put the time we go into.
Only if we go into closed session.
Closed session.
We do not go into executive session.
Right.
If we went into executive session, there would be nobody sitting out here.
All right. I'm going to adjourn at 8:10.